The greatest redemption story in gaming continues with No Man's Sky Beyond featuring VR support. Plus, an indie developer shares why they turned down guaranteed Epic money. Tonight is August 18th, 2019, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk.
Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters.
I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it.
Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say?
And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Almost forgot to hit record. Straightening my hair. All that stuff. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a 2 weeks away from Dragon Con edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live here on twitch.tv/VogNetwork, welcome. Head on over to our chat room, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, which I just already said. But come join us. We've got a nice small community, so you might actually get your thing read on the air. I'm trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night, which most of them are, but it is Twitch, so we know about that. You can comment on an episode over at VogNetwork.com. A little bit later on, you can call in. The way you do that is you join our Discord. So I'll go ahead and say that VogNetwork.com/Discord gets you into our Discord server. Then you can look on the bottom of the Twitch page. It'll tell you everything about how to get in and be on the show in the second half. Everybody's saying that they see the shirt. The shirt I'm wearing tonight is the Trogdor shirt from the recent board game release, which I finally got to play this weekend. And it's kind of fun. Not knowing what we were doing, we almost didn't burn an 8th countryside, but we did eventually, me and one other person, burn an 8th countryside, all the peasants, and all the thatched roof cottages. So, so when we said about commenting, we actually do have that. So you go to VogNetwork.com, and if you can't be here live on Sunday nights, or you don't want to use Twitch, don't want to go to Twitch, which is perfectly, perfectly fine, then you can do that. You can listen to the podcast. The audio podcast is always going to be there. And you can go to VogNetwork.com and leave a comment, just like E3VL did. We were talking last week about loot box disclosures coming to consoles. And he said, displaying odds on loot boxes. Surprise mechanics is nice, but how is it going to be regulated? ESA is going to check games code every time there's a patch or just at launch. Are they going to give EA, Activision, etc. the benefit of the doubt? So the ESA actually isn't doing this. They're just the ones that announced it. It's actually going to be the console manufacturers. And if your question is, let's replace the question ESA with the console manufacturers. So are Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft going to check a game's code every time there's a patch or just at launch? The answer is yes. They absolutely do. They already do that. That's called certification. So that's why you'll see, like, if there's a game that's on PC and on console, they'll patch something, and immediately you'll see it in Steam. Steam will have it. GOG will have it. Whatever game store you have it, they'll get it immediately because there's no certification process. But it takes several weeks for that patch to appear on any of the consoles because the console manufacturers have a certification process for every piece of DLC, every patch, every new release game, and they will fail you. And a lot of times it's for security concerns, or they check it for certain things that break the console, memory leaks that harm the console from being able to do its job and things like that. And now they're going to add in a check for loot box disclosures. And so that's going to be part of the disclosure. Or the certification process that all companies already have to go through on the consoles. So the ESA is not going to do it. Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony are going to do it. And they already go through the game's code on every single patch, every update, everything. Questbuster says, if I recall correctly, that's why there are day one patches, because they have to go gold to make certification deadlines but are still working on the game. Yes. In order to press the discs and make it go gold, They actually have to submit to certification about 2 months ahead of time. 1 to 2 months, or 2 months ahead of time, and then they can go gold with it. So the reason you get day one patches is that way, I think the patch certification backlog is only about 2 weeks. So they can, they have the final version of the game that goes to certification 2 months before release, and then they can work up to 2 weeks before, 1 to 2 weeks before the actual release, to get in that day one patch. So that's why you get day one patches. It's because of the certification process. So one thing I did forget to put in the little side note here, but I do want to actually mention, is that I appeared on another YouTube show this week, VR365. And this is a daily virtual reality show hosted by Anthony. He's actually also on Twitch. So, but I was on the YouTube version of the show. He alternates days. And we talked for about an hour and a half about VR and stuff, and including stuff like No Man's Sky. So I actually appeared on the show, and we went back and forth about a lot of things, talking about No Man's Sky, talking about Autica, talking about the future. Like, the first thing he asked me, guys, is Twitch dead? Like, everybody thinks Twitch is dead and dying, and I don't see that. Maybe you do? But I don't see Twitch being dead. So apparently Twitch is dead. Everybody's leaving Twitch for YouTube, I guess. So, Dad, the first thing he asked me was, is Twitch dead? But then we talked about VR. We started talking about why I don't bring VR on vacation with me. And then we talked about why I don't believe that games playing on a TV are going away. When him and some of his audience, Anthony the host, actually does believe the TV is going to go away in 20 or 30 years. And I'm actually like, okay, so in the, let's say for a Super Bowl party or whatever, people right now go over to people's houses, bring food, and have a big potluck and watch Super Bowl. He's like, yeah, in the future, you're going to look up at the sky, ask what frequency they're on, turn on your AR goggles, and you're going to have the Super Bowl in the sky. And everybody's going to have AR goggles right now. And I'm like, you realize nobody bought 3D TVs because they didn't want everybody to wear glasses. Yeah, but it's going to be different this time. So there was a fun little back and forth on that. And that kind of translates to me hating VR. And I'm like, no, I don't. I just don't think it's going to take over everything. Because what I told him is when the iPhone came out, and everybody started making games for phones, everybody's like, nobody's ever going to play on a TV anymore. Everybody's going to play games on the phone. Well, here we are 13 years later. We're still playing monitor games. We're still playing games on TV. But the mobile phone market is just a new segment of the market that's got the most players, makes the most money, but it didn't destroy what was already there. And that's the way I think VR is going to be. And PixelPox says, you totally hate VR, pointing out all the googly eyes I have behind me, all the different VR headsets that are around. There's even more right there. So, so I've got a whole bunch behind me. And so, obviously, I hate VR. One thing I don't hate, other than VR, is Dragon Con. Dragon Con is going to be in 2 weeks here. It's coming up soon. So Dragon Con, big 5-day sci-fi, comic, pop culture, gaming, everything convention here in Atlanta. The Sheraton, one of the hotels, it's open back up. It's free of Legionnaire's disease, but everybody's going to wear hazmat suits and take pictures around the fountain anyway. It's going to be the cleanest hotel in the world on that first day, so I'm not going to worry about it. But it's coming up. Both Rob Roberts and I are going to be all over the convention in an official capacity, speaking on panels, moderating panels. I went through my whole schedule last week. So I've got a whole bunch of panels on the digital media track. I'm hosting some voiceover artists from the video gaming track in one of the main ballrooms in Hyatt Centennial, which is one of the main big ballrooms that they have, featuring the voices, some voices from Persona 5, Final Fantasy 15. They do a sketch comedy show, an improv sketch show called Lava, Loud, Annoying, and Very Annoying, which is not me. So I'm the perfect person to moderate that panel. But we're going to meet the cast on Friday. So Friday, 11:30 a.m., that's the big one. And then I'll be in the app. The app will get updated next week. You can look for Bobby Blackwolf in the Dragon Con app if you're going, and come see us. The Breakman asks, will you be ducking Billy Mitchell too? I don't think he'll be going to Dragon Con. If he is, then yes, I will be ducking Billy Mitchell. Yes. As Jared Matt says, hopefully no measles like what Evo got. Yeah, hopefully not. We do have the CDC right now by, so anything can happen. The zombie outbreak could actually happen because there are – I have friends who work at the CDC, and they tell me that zombies are actually there. I'm just saying. I don't think they'd lie to me. They're probably lying to me. So come see us at Dragon Con. Come join our Discord or tweet at us. But this week, I've been playing No Man's Sky. Not as much as other people. I am surprised Fifth Dream is even here because – he's probably been playing nonstop since Wednesday when it came out. But No Man's Sky Beyond, this is the greatest, greatest redemption story in gaming. It's we were iffy on the game. It came out. It didn't meet our expectations. Then they've just continually updated it. They didn't give up. And last year, around this same time, they released the No Man's Sky Next update, which added some multiplayer features, added some more stuff. And we're like, this is cool. And then we played it for about I played it for about 10 to 15 hours. And I'm like, all right. Well, now the Beyond update is out, which adds a whole bunch of stuff and VR support. And so it's really interesting because they actually promised PSVR support in 2016 when it came out, and it didn't happen. So the first thing I did actually is I went into the game that I already had played that I had made last year, where we had like Rob and I. Rob found a planet, and so I went to it and I built a base next to his on his planet. I went in, my base was there, his wasn't. The system was undiscovered, so it was. I was like, well, this is no fun. I don't remember what I was doing, and none of my names are here or anything like that. So I then created a brand new game. And the very first thing it did is it popped me in somebody else's system. So I made a new game and it popped me into a system already discovered, already named by someone else. I'm like, this is not going to be fun. And it popped me in that game. And I was like, the whole point of this is to discover things. And I'm in a system already discovered by some random dude. He's named all the planets. He's already discovered everything. It was some other man's sky. That was not good. So I immediately quit out. Didn't even save that game. They don't even know that I was there. So I left and I got out of there. So I started a new game, and then it did actually put me in a new system. And I was playing it all in PlayStation VR. So there are I did not buy it again on PC because I'm not double-dipping on this game. And I don't know why the title screen's jittering like that. It normally doesn't jitter like that. But on this playthrough, it did when I was capturing some of this B-roll video from my PS4. And it's a PS4 regular, and I'm playing it with a DualShock. So I'm not using the Move controllers, even though I've got them. I'm actually got them charging, so I'll see how that's different. And I'm not playing it on PC, so I don't have like the Valve Index controllers, the Knuckles controllers, touch controllers. So I'm actually playing it with a controller seated on my couch, which is a different VR experience than using the Move controllers or the Oculus Touch. So one of the things, so if you're going to play it with a controller, one of the things I did early on is I set my movement to free movement. So you can teleport and it'll do the smooth jumps if you're rotating and stuff. But I don't care if I get sick. And I have not gotten sick. So I just play it with the free movement where I use the two analog sticks to move around. And I'm just sitting on my couch chilling. When you're using the DualShock, it still uses the six axis. And so you actually still aim by actually physically tilting the controller like you would the Move controller. So you don't get the independent aim when you're in there. So you actually have to make sure the controller is up, the camera can see your controller, and then you fire that way. All the UIs, they kind of pop up in front of you, and they say they spent a lot of time making the UIs work. It doesn't work completely well, because sometimes those UIs will spawn behind walls, and so they'll be very faded. But also, the UI for, like, picking up objects and interacting them. Like, you know, if you need to, like, harvest a plant, You have to still be looking at it, but only left to right. You can't, like, use any of the thumbsticks to determine where you're going to be looking for that. You just have to hope that you're in looking left to right at the right place, so then you can hold down the square button to be able to select something. So it's a little weird to get it to figure out really how to get things. And some things will actually seem easier in a monitor, because this is a game that was designed for a TV. It was designed for a monitor that I'm not going to say shoehorned into VR, because they put a lot of thought into it, but it's just, it's next to impossible to translate all the TV type UIs into VR and have it work like it was supposed to be in VR in the first place. Some of the other things they do in the ship also is, I think you actually steer with the Move controllers, like by actually physically moving your hands. Whereas if you're using the controller, then the ship is actually controlled with the normal controls. So like once you're in the cockpit, then you're just playing like you were playing before. So I kind of like that. But in the B-roll I've got here, you actually see that it's kind of hard for me to try to open all these loot boxes, because it keeps wanting to snap to a loot box I can't open. And these aren't loot boxes that you need to disclose. These are just like the armor boxes or whatever. And I keep trying to open one of them, and it always says, no, you really want to open this one in the back that needs an Atlas Pass. I'm like, no, I really want to open the little red one. You know, I can't open that one. So, you know, it makes me want to try to open that one instead of these red ones. So I kind of wish there was a better way for me to force it to allow me to open things that I want. Maybe it's easier when you actually have you're using the wands, because then you can actually point at something. In this, you only point when you're in the visor mode, which thankfully with the controller you enter the same way. But I think with the actual like Move controllers or any kind of like Oculus Touch, you actually have to hold it up against your hand. You hold like your left hand against your head. That puts on your visor, and then you point with the other one. So it's kind of weird. I've been watching other people play it, because I haven't been able to try it myself. Fifth Dream says, I started a new game. It wants me to find buried tech for the tutorial, and there are none on my base planet. I did find one thing of buried tech. It's there. You just got to find it. It's there, I promise. But yeah, and but they've also added some other things to it as the B-roll continues here. One thing I did notice is that I didn't see as many Sentinels, and then I read the patch notes after playing it a little bit, and they said, yeah, we reduced the number and, you know, tenacity of the Sentinels, which basically, if you mine anything and a Sentinel sees you, they try to kill you. And so it's not that fun to play. For a while, I didn't see any Sentinels on the first planet, and then I've only seen one on the second planet that I was on. So the other thing, because on the PlayStation 4, I'm playing on the DualShock, all the building and stuff, it is used by tilting the DualShock controller, so you're actually using all the six-axis stuff. So that takes a little bit to get used to, especially when you're trying to build a base. Base building is a little bit different now, and they've also changed just in the course of the game itself. VR is not the only thing they added, but like now you have to power your base. And you have to, you know, if you have to fill up a generator for your teleporter to work. And then if your teleporter runs out of fuel and you're on a space station, you can't get back to your base. So there are later options where you can get like solar panels and batteries, and so you can be self-sustaining. But they added like having to wire your base up and things like that. Questbuster says he almost trapped himself on a planet when he entered one of his depowered bases. It also depowered the portal, so he can't go back. Yeah, so that I was like, why is my portal unpowered? Okay, I'm done for now. He's like, I can fly to the station to gate myself, but come on. So I agree. Yeah, so they changed a lot of stuff, and I think they also added like a big Nexus area. You know, I think the anomaly, the space anomaly that you come across about an hour or two in the game, that's now like a multiplayer portal and stuff. So that's going to be interesting to do. Right now, I actually have like invite only on my game. I don't want random people joining my game. And yeah, so Questbuster says the inventory system change was super nice. It's been a while since I played, so I didn't notice how much it changed, but I think it did change a little bit. Stacks of stuff, so much stuff. So I guess you can stack more than you used to be able to. Podculture says, can VR and regular play together? Yes, absolutely they can. Because the game is the same game. It's just if you have VR on, then it shows in VR. If your VR is off when you boot the game, then it shows up in the screen. And I actually came out and played this game a little bit on a monitor, and I'm like, yeah, I know it's easier to play here, but I'm going to play it on my monitor. Or I'm going to play it in VR. I'm not going to play it on monitor. So on the B-roll here, you can actually see what the analyzing looks like when you're using the DualShock. And you actually, like, for a while, I didn't realize it was tracking the motion and when I first played, before I recorded these videos. But you basically have to point at the Discovery and then handle and then hold the right buttons while trying to do that, while pointing in the right direction. There is the drift issue on the PlayStation VR, unfortunately, and there is a recenter button that does not actually do the recentering left to right. It recenters you front to back. So if it drifts too much, you're going to start having to, like, look all the way to the left, look all the way to the whatever way it drifts, and it won't let you go back, which kind of sucks. So here you can see on the last little bit of B-roll right here is I'm trying to build a base. And so you actually see kind of what the base building looks like while I'm in VR. And it's using the combination of the six-axis and looking around in VR and stuff like that. So I wound up building a base that had, like, four little areas and, you know, a roof and things like that. Kaijudo says, my game hasn't drifted. I use a tripod. The tripod kills the drift. I would have to put it in front of my TV, and I don't want to deal with that. It sits on top of my TV and it's fine. The second time, like that time, the drift was fine because it's when you start the PlayStation VR, when you turn it on, you just have it sitting on a table. That's a little bit better. That I've learned, it makes it a little bit better, and it actually worked fine the second time. The first time, it drifted over. Breakman says, I like building stuff, but I like mixing it with killing things. And Questbuster says, well, there are sentinels that get upset on worlds when you start deforming for resources, so you can fight those, then they get meaner over time. So it's kind of like the Grand Theft Auto Wanted level. So you can kill a sentinel, and then, like, but maybe it will call its friends, and then they'll come after you. So, I started over a new game, so I'll definitely want to play it more. I definitely want to try riding animals, because that's apparently a thing you can do now. So you can ride the animals. And there's more conversation options with the NPCs, more ways to learn the language and stuff. And so I'll probably get lost in it for about 9 or 10 hours like last time and then be done with it. I don't know. I'm going to mispronounce the whole name, so I'm not going to say the whole name. I'll just say Pele. Game won't let me build in VR, only in flat. It let me do it, but I'm also playing on PlayStation 4. I'm playing on a PlayStation 4 regular, not the Pro, so it is kind of fuzzy. It is 60 frames a second, so it's a little hazy, but it performs well. And when I go into the UIs, I can read everything just fine. But I notice, like, when I get into my ship, the text is blurry and things like that. That's on the ship, the actual, like, parts of the text that are on the readouts on the console. That stuff's a little bit blurry. But yeah, it let me build just fine in VR. But remember, I was playing on PlayStation 4 with a DualShock. I haven't tried it with the Move controllers, and I haven't picked it up for PC to be able to put it on one of these headsets. Fifthstream says, I'm on a skeletal planet, and the animals are crystals that crawl around like Diglets. It's still procedural. Everything's procedural, unless they start you on somebody else's homeworld, and then it's not procedural. Breakman asks, can you kill their children to anger their parents? Yes. Yes, you absolutely can. You can also feed the children to make the parents like you. So No Man's Sky, it is a free update. So if you ever bought No Man's Sky, you bought the disc, it's a free update. It's not DLC. They just patch it right in. It does seem to get rid of all your previous names and discoveries. So you may be kind of disappointed if you try to go into an old game. I enjoy it. PC people have stated they've had some performance issues, so I'm not sure how well it performs on PC. But I enjoy it. It is a great redemption story. And congratulations to Hello Games. Let's talk about some game a game that's going away. Unfortunately, this is the sad part of digital distribution, and it's the that games go away. And so Destructoid has reported that Developer Turn 10 has announced that Forza Motorsport 6 will soon be entering its end-of-life status. As with other Forza games before it, this means the title will be getting delisted soon. On September 15th, the game and its DLC will be removed from the Xbox Live Marketplace, and players will no longer be able to purchase it digitally. If you've already bought it or any of its DLC, you'll retain access to it. So if you wanted the car passes, this is the interesting thing. They're doing a massive discount. You can actually now get the complete add-ons collection pack for 95% off on the Xbox Live Marketplace. So for $5, you can get every single car released for Forza 6 over its lifetime. So even if you bought the game and you didn't buy all the cars, now for $5 you can get all the cars. Once September 15th rolls around, you can't do it. And right now, if you're an Xbox Live Gold member, it's actually free with Xbox Live Gold. Not Game Pass, but actual Xbox Live with Gold. Or you can get have the physical copy. Either one works. So it's a, I think, four-year-old game. And so it's reaching its end of life, which means that they didn't weren't able to keep the licenses for as long. I think there probably are some cars in there that they can't use anymore. And that's probably where this is coming from. But they've also done it for all the other games. Forza Horizon 2 got delisted. And they were asking, is this the latest one? 7 is the latest one, and 8 is coming whenever. Forza Motorsport 8 should have been this year, but they didn't announce it at E3. So I don't know if it's a next Xbox exclusive. Breakman says, I don't play Forza, but for free, of course, I download it. Remember now? So now remember the Motorsport series, that's the more hardcore racing sim. It's not the fun Horizon one. It's a little bit more hardcore. It's basically just doing track races. And it's very much about the love of the car and the love of the automobile. Whereas Horizon's more about having fun in those really highly detailed cars. So just know what you're getting into when you get into motorsport. So the other last story that I'm going to talk about is because we talk about the Epic Game Store a whole lot around here. And we know one of the things that Epic is trying to do to create a competitive marketplace is they are buying exclusivity agreements for of 1 year, 6 months to 1 year, to basically have people force people into their store so people now have a choice between Steam and Epic Game Store. So their idea is to basically force people to use their store and say we're giving people choice. So one of the things they do is they approach indie developers to have them release exclusively, and one indie developer told them no. And it was PC Gamer reports that the developer of horror-filled puzzle game Dark, with a Q, turned down an Epic Game Store exclusivity deal and has called on Epic to allow indie games to sell simultaneously on the store and via Steam. Epic contacted Vlad Marhuletz, the solo developer behind Unfold Games, 3 days after he had revealed Dark's Steam release date. He says, quote, on July 30th, I was contracted by the Epic Store, proposing that I enter into an exclusivity agreement with them instead of releasing Dark on Steam. They made it clear that releasing Dark non-exclusively is not an option. I rejected their offer before we had a chance to talk money, unquote. So Dark is out on Steam right now, and the developer actually admits he's going to probably make less money selling through Steam than he would have if he had accepted Epic's deal, which included a minimum revenue guarantee. The idea of getting some upfront payment on top of guaranteed revenue sounds great, but he didn't want to break a promise to players who expected to buy the game on Steam. He said, quote, turning down the Epic exclusivity offer might have been a foolish decision in the short term, Considering the amount of money that might have been involved, when thinking long-term, however, this was an easy and obvious decision to make in my case. Pulling the game off Steam a few hours after Steam release date announcement would forever ruin the credibility of my studio. I would like for my customers to have confidence that my word means something, especially when making an announcement as crucial as release date and platform, unquote. He wanted to give players as many options as possible, so he's also selling the game through GOG. He says, quote, I wish the Epic Store would allow indie games to be sold there non-exclusively, as they do with larger still-unreleased games like Cyberpunk 2077, so gamers can enjoy what they want. Choice. He stressed, quote, that he's not speaking on behalf of other developers, and that for some studios, an Epic exclusivity deal might be the best plan long-term. He says, quote, every indie studio has a unique story and has to deal with a unique set of obstacles. The reasons are mine and mine only. Rejecting such an offer happened to be right for my game, but might not be for other games or studios, as their goals and long-term values or long-term plans might differ from mine, unquote. So the interesting thing about this is that when they got asked by someone else who works at a AAA studio, he said, look, we're a curated store. This was the Tim Sweeney, president of Epic. Look, we're a curated store. We can't accommodate everybody, so we have to basically curate and only put the best stuff. But apparently this game was good enough for them to want to throw money at it to allow them to sell on their platform. But the minute he said, I don't want your money, I just want a list on your store, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, you're not good enough for that. Kaijudo says, this guy is stupid. I'm assuming he's talking about the developer. Epic is not the enemy. They want to help developers. He better think twice when he makes a sequel. What's interesting is that all the outpouring of support he's gotten on both Steam and GOG, he might actually have made more money than if he had taken Epic's deal. We won't know because he never spoke money with Epic. He turned them down immediately. But he wanted to give gamers a choice. And he's like, hey, I'd like to release my game on Steam, GOG, and Epic Game Store. And Epic's like, no. If you want to come to Epic, you have to tell everybody else to shut it and that you're too good for them. So it's kind of interesting that I think Kaijudo thinks this developer is the enemy for wanting to release everywhere rather than just on one place. He says, I don't know him. We never had a disagreement, this Kaijudo saying. I just think he's stupid for not going with Epic. Tireclaw says, this developer is very pro-consumer. And Pixelbox says, I mean, he'd be able to publish on Steam a year later. So, I mean, if he didn't, he made a Steam announce trailer. If he didn't put the date on it, he could still keep it and just say, yeah, it's coming out on that date in 2020. So I'm not going to, I mean, he did what he felt was the right thing for his studio, and he apparently values his word. He's already announced to Steam, and apparently it had been on Steam for, I think, November 2018 is when it was on Steam, and it was actually one of the top 50 most wishlist games on Steam. So people had already wanted to buy the game on Steam, and he felt that he would be too dishonest if he said, sorry, I'm not going to release on Steam, even though in November of 2018 I said I would release on Steam. If he hadn't announced anything, like if he didn't have a Steam page, if he didn't announce the Steam release date, and then he said, I'm an Epic Game Store exclusive, I wouldn't have a problem with that. And I don't think he'd have a problem with that. But the fact that he stated, yeah, it's going to be on Steam and GOG on August 15th, and then 2 weeks ago he got an email from Epic saying, hey, yeah, you know about that whole release thing, you should just come to us. But you're not allowed to release anywhere else if you come on our store. And I don't know how that gives you choice. Like, I honestly don't, because if the reason that Tim Sweeney has stated that the Epic Game Store is getting all these exclusives is because they're trying to give consumers choice on where to buy games. Yet this person actually wants to give consumers choice. If consumers want to buy his game on the Epic Game Store, he wants to allow that. Epic has told him no. Because he also thinks that if someone wants to buy it on GOG, they should be able to. If someone wants to buy it on Steam, they should be able to. If someone wants to buy it on itch.io, which he's not releasing on itch.io, they should be able to. Epic's the only one that's saying, no, when we mean choice, we want to give people the choice to use our store, not any other store. Pele says, Epic vs. Steam is the new gold standard for first world problems. Yes, it is. Just right after iPhone versus Android, Mac versus PC, Xbox versus PlayStation, Bobby Blackwell versus Breakman, Bobby Blackwell versus Kaijudo. First world problems. SJ Runner Matt says, on the reverse, I do not believe Epic is going to buy exclusivity for long. They're spending Fortnite income to kickstart the Epic Game Store. It's not sustainable for the long run. And there was actually an analogy that somebody else made, and I actually liked this analogy. So this is like why, and it actually explained like why viscerally I'm like, why this is why I'm kind of against Epic. Let's take an analogy of a movie theater, of movie theaters, okay? So let's say you have a movie theater near you that has, you know, good seats, good sound system, good refreshments and stuff like that. And you like that movie theater. And there are other movie theaters you can go to, but you like that one. Then another movie theater shows up. And what they don't have good seats. They've got their seats are terrible. They've got a crappy sound system. They've got an okay screen. So, I mean, the movie looks nice. It doesn't sound as good as it does somewhere, but it's passable. The seats are kind of crappy and stuff. And nobody goes there because they'd rather go to the movie theater that's, you know, just a block away that has all the nice amenities. So what that other movie theater does is then gets the exclusive for the movie. So you have to go to that movie theater to see the new Marvel one. That's kind of what Epic's doing, because they don't have all the amenities that the other stores do. And so in order to give you the choice, they basically force you to use their stuff. Just like that hypothetical movie theater would be forcing you to go to them to see the movie. Same kind of deal. And that's kind of what Epic's doing right now, because for me, they still don't have point cards. Like, I have to give them my credit card information to be able to purchase something from them. And I don't give any gaming company my credit card information. I don't give it to anybody. I don't link them to my PayPal, because my PayPal is tied directly to my bank account. That's even scarier. Because I know PayPal's a thing, but no, I'm not. That gives them direct access to my cash. I don't want them to have direct access to my cash. Kaijudo says, I also think he's scared of the angry Steam mob. If you look on Steam, they're all giving him kudos for turning down Epic. Nothing about the game, just cheering him for losing money. Well, for some people, that's more important. For some people value that. He says, all the posts on their main page is them saying, good job, man, you turned down Epic. SJ Winner Matt says, Epic will eventually have a massive catalog and members that rival Steam. Eventually, they'll become a standard that keeps people coming back. Once that happens, they will pull back on buying exclusivity for games because they won't need to. Pixelbox agrees with me. Thinks it's weird that Epic doesn't have a gift card thing yet. You'd think they would, because I think they got Fortnite stuff. Like, I think I can buy Fortnite cards at the grocery store. I just can't buy cards for the Epic Game Store. Questbuster says, the Fortnite train won't last forever, as ruthless as they are. They're striking while the iron is still hot on that property. With that said, we're going to take a quick music break, courtesy of Overclocked Remix. We're going to play a remix from Overclocked Remix. If you want to be on the show, we'll take a call or two. After the music break, go to the Green Room on the VOG Network Discord. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on twitch.tv/VOGNetwork.
Hey guys, I'm Jessie, and when I'm not voicing Linda Lash and Mango Tango from Double Dragon Neon, I'm participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show. Check out my new project, New Ren.
I'm waiting for New Ren. New Ren is supposed to be like a big VR thing done by Jake Kaufman, Vert, and I backed it on Kickstarter like 4 years ago. I mean, even if it came out on Epic Game Store, like, just bring it out. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to have a Kickstarter going on right now. All you got to do is send me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com, or you can send me, we can talk about a video or something. You can send me a link in Discord. We'll figure all that out once I get video calls. We do actually have two people in the green room, so I'm going to try to get to both of them. We're going to go here first and bring this first person in. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hi, Hey, buddy, it's Run, Jump, Stomp in chat.
Run, Jump, Stomp, what's up, man?
Oh, nothing. I was wondering what you thought. What are your predictions for tomorrow? Because we've got do we think we're going to get any big announcements at Nintendo's Indie World thing? And then we've got Stadia Connect later on in the day.
What I actually want is the Intellivision. So the question is for people live that can't hear them. I'll adjust it in post for the podcast listeners. So, sorry. So the question is, what are we expecting tomorrow? Because Gamescom is this week. I'm most excited for the Intellivision reveal because Tommy Tallarico and the Intellivision Amico, they're releasing their brand new trailer tomorrow. It's going to show the system, going to show 14 games. So that's the thing I'm really expecting. Nintendo, I mean, they're going to show us whatever they want to show us. I stopped trying to predict Nintendo a long, long time ago. And part of that is because they never do what I want. Like, they're not going to release. They're not going to show me the new F-Zero. They're not going to show me Mother 3. And I've made peace with that. And they'll show me what they show me. And, I mean, it'll probably be more Animal Crossing stuff. And that'll be great. And I'll be excited about that and happy about that. So what about you? What are you thinking they're going to? Because you do like kind of a Nintendo show as well. So what do you think they're going to have?
Well, I don't know. I'm with you. It's impossible to predict what Nintendo is going to do because they always do something that catches us out of left field. But right now there's rumors that we might be getting Ori and the Blind Forest on the Switch, which I think is interesting since – you know, that's another Microsoft project or a Microsoft published game that is an Xbox exclusive, and they already brought one Xbox exclusive over to the Switch via Cuphead.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe Ori and the Blind Forest is that's what the rumors are saying.
Yeah.
What about Stadia? We got the Stadia Connect tomorrow as well.
I hope they show something. Like just what they're going to have for the Pro, because like I pre-bought that Pro thing so I could have a Chromecast Ultra. That was the real reason I got it. But I'd like to know, like, other than Destiny 2, what are they going to give people that are subscribing to them? Why, if you don't have a 4K TV and you've already played Destiny 2, which is going free to play anyway, why should somebody buy Stadia Pro? Why should they get that subscription?
I don't see a very compelling reason for anybody to get Stadia Pro, but today I sat down to play Overwatch, and because I guess the new hero had come out, and that entailed me patching for over an hour on my PS4, and I was like, man, I would not be running into this issue on Stadia right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that maybe we will hear something from Kojima, like Death Stranding, because he was recently seen hanging out with Jade Raymond, who is a bigwig over at Stadia. So I think that that's a possibility.
I don't ever read into the they were hanging out.
Well, they were tweeting about it, too.
Okay, they were tweeting about it. Okay. But, I mean, I still don't, because the industry is so small, and that's people true. Remember people that they were used to work together or used to work tangentially all the time. And so, like, you know, I kind of look at, like, some of my interactions in the past at, like, E3. And, like, if I talked to, you know, let's say I was, you know, seen, which has happened, where I talked to somebody from the old All Games Network. And then immediately, like, what that could mean is, like, is he going back on All Games? And it's not. It's just we know each other and still talk to each other and still like each other. So I still never read into the, oh, they talk to each other. So obviously something's happening, because it doesn't always mean that.
Gotcha.
Like, I mean, people could say, you, Run, Jump, Stomp, you're on my show. Does that mean you're coming to VOG? Is your show coming to VOG? Is it coming to VOG?
I suppose they could do that.
They could.
They could say things like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate it. We got one other person in the green room. I'm going to try to get to them. Appreciate your call. Nope, he already left. He didn't say goodbye. I'm sorry. One other call here. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, what's up, Bobby Blackwolf? This is Kai Judo.
Kai Judo, what's up, man?
Not much, man. I want to talk about the revelation that's No Man's Sky.
Okay.
You know, I am, I'm floored by this thing. I have my doubts, you know, because I spend a lot of time in VR. And, you know, every game claims that, you know, you're going to get immersed and everything. And, you know, I would say it's 50-50. You know, some games really hook me in, some don't. But, I mean, you know, they're all equally fun. But I'm just like, I know that I'm in a virtual world. I don't feel like I'm anywhere else, you know? So, No Man's Sky, I was expecting to get that because, you know, it does look kind of cartoony in the graphics and everything. And I was just like, all right, I'm going to get this thing on. You know, I'm going to have some fun. That's about it. But I wasn't ready for my reaction. Like, when I put the headset on, and I started the game up, I went, you know, you've seen the loading screen before when you go into the loading screen and you see the stars. I saw that, but my reaction to that was, whoa. Like, I literally said, whoa. Like, I was like, and I've never done that before in a game. And I'm just like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, and then I get to the planet, I'm like, well, I'm just like amazed by everything. And then by the time I got to my ship, I just like, I was ready to fall out. Like, when I got into space and, I mean, it's just a beautiful game. And it's blurry as heck. I mean, I'm on the regular PlayStation, and there's a lot of blur. Like, you know, like the best way I could describe it is like, you ever try to look at something through a fire?
Yeah.
You know, and you get like that blurry, like it looks like that a little bit. A lot of stuff in the distance.
I think it was explained to me, like, imagine just like taking a whole bunch of Vaseline and putting it over your TV screen.
That's
what it's like.
But I'm having so much fun with it, man. Like, I'm totally ignoring that blur stuff, and I'm completely in. I even got to play multiplayer with a person. There was somebody, I met them through Werewolves Within.
Okay.
And, you know, I went to the, like, the joint thing, because I thought that was the way to do multiplayer. Like, I didn't know how to do multiplayer. I didn't find out about the Nexus until, like, later that day. So I thought, you know, that joint thing was the only way to do multiplayer. So I went into that. I saw somebody. I'm like, hey, let me get over there. It took me 20 minutes to get to this guy's planet, which was hilarious, because I'm, like, flying through space. I met up with the dude. And, you know, we're hanging out or whatever. I'm like, I know this is your planet. I'm not going to scan or name anything. You know, I'm just here to hang out and just kind of, you know, explore your planet. He's like, oh, yeah, that's cool, whatever. So, you know, we spoke for a little bit.
Yep.
And what was really funny about it is there's a thing in the game where you actually have to, like, reach over your shoulder to pull out your little tool thing.
Okay.
So I'm, like, the worst person with that. Like, I'm always putting my hand behind my back and I'm, like, shooting off. Like, I killed a few animals that way. And so I told the guy, I was like, you know, forgive me. I haven't gotten the hang of this thing yet. He's like, yeah, you shot me at least two times already. So, yeah, just a lot of, like, goofy things like that.
Had you played No Man's Sky before? Is this your first experience with No Man's Sky?
No. I played it day one. I got it day one. I loved the game day one.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't one of the complainers. Yeah, I had it since day one. And when they did the other update, remember, I went to your planet and
hung out
a little bit. Yeah, so, yeah, I've been in No Man's Sky for a long time. But the VR is just a totally different experience, you know?
Yeah. And I can't see myself really going back to the TV, even though I'm only playing with the DualShock, which eliminates some of that reaching behind you stuff. It has its own challenges. But I went back to playing on TV for a little bit, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go back into VR. I mean, unless I need to, like, do some, like, really like heavy-duty base building, that I might, like, say, okay, no VR for that, and then go back into VR.
Yeah, because I'm working really hard to get to the Nexus. So, there was a time late in the night where, you know, I didn't want to set up the VR and all that stuff. So I'm like, I'm just going to go into the game and do a little bit of work here. And, you know, and I was just like, I can't wait to get back in VR tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do all this in VR tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'm actually thinking about starting the game over because I created a portal. And I didn't know, like, because pretty much whatever you put down there, you can pick up again. And I put the portable. For some reason, I don't think it's a glitch either. Like, they won't allow me to pick it back up, and it's, like, at an awkward angle.
Oh, wow.
You know, because that, you know, just like what you said, with, like, it's kind of hard to build a little bit in the VR. So I put it, like, I didn't build on a flat surface, which I should have. Like, there's a lot of hills and stuff where I try to build. So the thing is kind of, like, sticking out at an angle, and it just, I don't know, it's like an eyesore. And I'm just like, can I just destroy this thing? Like,
yeah.
I'm going to make another one, but it won't let me remove it. So I'm really thinking about maybe starting over. And I'm pretty far in the game, which drives me crazy, but I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's great. I can't wait to get to your planet and bother you if you ever.
Yeah, whenever. I don't have a home planet yet. I just have my little base, and that's it. Like, my little tiny base.
Because I actually looked for you day one. I'm like, I'm going to see if Bobby Blackwood was on it. I'm like, I haven't seen him. Now I know why. You've been private. You're like Yoda. On but I'm going to find you.
You'll find me eventually.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
I'll find you. Yeah.
You'll find me.
Yeah.
And that's both a threat and a promise.
Yes.
All right.
And one other thing before I leave. The Sentinels are there. What happened was, I don't know if you ever played the game earlier, but there's, like, these big giant pearls that if you ever take one, the Sentinels go nuts. And I saw one of those pearls on my planet, and I took one because I'm like, hey, there's no Sentinels around because I haven't seen them either, like you.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I could actually take these, and they won't bother me. I took them, and they just spawned out of nowhere and started firing at me. So I think they spawn now. Like, they're not just flying around the planet looking at you like
well,
they used to.
I did find – there is one that was going around. Like, where my base is, I usually see, like, one. But it's not – they're not all the time. Like, I never saw one on the first planet, but on the second planet, I saw one, even though – the little planet thing said, yes, there is Sentinel activity here. So,
yeah, I haven't seen them at all. They just spawned at one time when I stole the pearl. But thanks for taking my call. Let you get to OLR. And, like I said, No Man's Sky, me and you, man. We should do a vlog thing, man.
We should.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Cole.
All right, bye.
All right. So that is it for the calls. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming in. Coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. Rob's also played some No Man's Sky, and I think he might be playing multiple times. I don't know. Fifth Dream says, I was able to take the pearls with no sentinels. Made me happy. I haven't done any of the pearl stuff. So we like to check in with Orange Lounge Radio, see what's going on. Sacramento, are you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you guys? You've been playing some No Man's Sky?
Good. I have. Thanks to the whole soft reboot, I don't know what you would call it, the 2.0 upgrade, I guess, got me back into it. And I'm loving it. It's I'm having a good time with it.
Have you played it in VR, or are you just still playing on a TV?
I did play it in VR, so I had some problems getting started in VR. I started – because I was playing really late one night or something, I wasn't in the mood to start in VR. So I started a new game because we all started new games because we forgot what we were doing, right?
And they got rid of the names. Like, Blissey's not there anymore. It's whatever the default
name is. Yeah, I heard about some of that weird stuff. But I wonder if that's, like, weird syncing things. I don't know. And also, I noticed that online renaming services were down for a long time. But anyway, all that stuff aside, however that all shook out, I started a new game, and so I got – you know, past the first few things, and then I went to go save at the ship. Okay, so the next day I'm like, okay, I'm gonna play this in VR, and I try to bring it up on VR. It crashes three times in a row. Like, I try to load the VR and it crashes every time the game is starting. So I'm like, okay, something weird's going on here. I guess it's not working. So I gave up and I just went back to the regular TV. But then I saw that they were releasing patches like crazy, right? Like, they did a 0.01, a 0.02, they're all the way up to 0.06.
yes,
and just like a scope of a few days, right? So I did get to do VR finally. So I loaded it up the next night, and now VR, their patch fixed it. Because VR, or because I was in a different game state, maybe it was able to get past the bug. So I was able to play it in VR. I'm going to be honest. It wasn't as great as I thought it would be in VR.
Were you playing with the DualShock or the Move controllers?
I was playing with the DualShock, and that was probably the number one thing that annoyed me, was aiming with the DualShock is, like, ridiculous. I didn't care for that. So, to be fair, I need to give it another shot. I also thought, like, it looks so gorgeous on my TV and in VR. Like, you know, the PlayStation VR kind of, like, you notice the downsampling, especially in, like, a lot of the text and things like that. Like, it just didn't look as pristine. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm, like, knocking VR or anything. I'm not. I just think this particular game, I just got so used to it on a more traditional controller that I really enjoyed it. Now, to be fair, before the VR fans send in their hate mail, I also played this week on PlayStation VR Wipeout HD Collection, and I loved that in VR. Yeah. That was a lot of fun to play that.
Yeah, well, I mean, they had to downsample No Man's Sky to work on PlayStation VR, and so everybody knows that. So that's why that happened. That's not a fault of No Man's Sky. That's a fault of the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, and I imagine it's probably, like, much better on PC in that regard, where they don't have to make as many sacrifices. So that was just, you know, I didn't, like, hate it. I was just, like, so used to it on the TV at that point that it just kind of really threw me off to suddenly be in VR. I mean, it was – I love the way the planets look right now. The, you know, the 2.0 patch really made a lot of the planets, like, pop more, I think. And I really loved the way it looked and everything, but I just kind of found myself wanting to go back to the TV experience.
Yeah. And see, me, I wanted to go back to the VR experience. So it's just, it's whatever you're looking for, I guess.
Yeah, different strokes for different folks. You know, again, don't send the hate mail, because there's a lot I do love in PSVR. Yeah. Okay, Beat Saber, big fan, right? Just this particular game, I just found I was kind of missing the TV.
So if you're playing in VR, you're playing with other people also that are playing non-VR as well? Or
I believe
yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's all one, still one universe.
I'm alone in my corner of the universe where I'm at. I don't, but I also have my game set to friends only because I don't really want the strangers and that stuff. And so I've been mostly on my own, and that's fine. But I will say this. I did the ever-famous Rob Roberts double dipping. I bought it on PC today. So I can play because it's on sale. And, you know, I had a Steam credit anyway from a Twitch thing that I won. So I bought it so I could play with Alan. Because he plays on PC. And he also mod, you know, he's a mod guy. Mod,
right?
Right? So I want to check out some of the mods he's been using because I guess he uses some things that even make the graphics more like... like they pop out and make the grass do different things and things like that. So I really want to see that.
Well, you have to tell me how that is because I haven't double dipped yet. But, you know, Hello Games probably does deserve my money a second time. I don't know.
Maybe I don't know if it's possible, but we should like before Dragon Con try to set it up so that like I can Steam share my library with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can like grab it. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know if I trust the hotel internet to play a game like No Man's Sky.
That's true too.
But it's a good thought. It's a very good thought.
Yeah, it's a good thought.
So what else are you guys going to be talking about on OLR tonight? This is your last OLR live OLR for like 3 weeks, right?
Yes. Don't scare the audience that it's last OLR, but it's our last live OLR for a few weeks just because a Dragon Con trip is extended for me a little bit. Mm-hmm. For those of you that used to listen to Guys on a Show or way, way back Horde House. The one and only Extifer moved. He's always been one of my closest friends. Mm-hmm. And he moved, him and his partner, Matt, who is actually, he works in the game industry. They moved from San Francisco to, or Oakland, I should say, to the Raleigh, North Carolina area. So mm-hmm. you'll have to think about what developer is in both places in order to do that.
So you're going to be spending some time with him getting the full Carolina experience.
Yes, which I've never been to, so it's another state to cross off the list.
Yes.
And then we're going to drive into Atlanta.
All right.
Eat at the Waffle House for me. Bring me grits.
Oh, yeah. That's usually a thing we do every year at some point because there's a Waffle House not far from the hotels, so we'll see.
And then I'll see you on Wednesday, and like things are starting Wednesday night, some stuff too, at Dragon Con.
Is there Wednesday nights? I didn't even know there was Wednesday
nights.
There is
a Twitch meetup on Wednesday night. They have it that early for the local community to be able to go before they close off the hotels.
Got it. Okay, well, I'm going to invite myself to that.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to invite myself to it, too.
And then, awesome.
And then there's stuff like Thursday night now and Thursday day, and I don't know.
Yeah, it's ramping up a little bit. Like, you know, the Thursday is the new Friday, and now Wednesday's new Thursday, I guess.
In 10 years, we're going to show up on Monday, and there's going to be things happening on Monday, and it's just going to be 7 days.
I know. How many days is Anime Expo? Like, I feel like the same thing's been happening to them for some time.
It was 4 when I went.
Yeah, it's and this is the thing with Dragon Con, with it being over Labor Day weekend, it's, you know, they've always had Monday. The weird thing is, Monday is honestly probably a more dead day than Thursday at this point.
Yeah.
It's so weird how it works out.
Yeah, that's always just the wrap-up day. You know, it's like, okay, let's talk about how the weekend was and talk about next
year. My flights worked out perfectly this year because I was worried I would have to rush to the airport because Delta changed their schedules. But I'm actually on Southwest now because I get to use reward points for once in my life, and my flight out to North Carolina is free. So I only had to pay for the one back. And it's not till like 7 o'clock, which is great. So
good.
It works out timing wise wonderfully.
All right. Well, Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Did you go through with some of the stuff you were going to talk about tonight? I can't remember. I know we talked.
Maybe we'll talk about a brand new Need for Speed game that was announced.
Yep.
We're going to talk about Minecraft graphics pack. It ain't happening. And what is up with that? Speaking of mods, save the day there. And for our kickoff topic tonight, so in just a few minutes, we're going to talk a little bit about YouTube music channels and Nintendo kind of putting the stop on that a little bit. We're going to kind of dive into how many people actually use that stuff to listen to their soundtracks and why Nintendo might be doing this. And are they right to do it? We'll talk a little bit more about it.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be here next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. OLR will not be, but I will be here. And so come join me here alone on the Twitch channel and catch us live and interact with the show directly. And then we'll raid someone after the show. And maybe it could be you. I don't know. Feel free to leave a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper if you've seen the show by emailing me an MP3 or a link to a video to bumpers at BobbyBlackWolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf. Twitter at BobbyBlackWolf. Twitch.tv/BobbyBlackWolf. That is where I am. And that is where you can find me and see what I'm doing during the week and see things that I post. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the show work without the help of live chatters and our supporters. So I do want to call out and thank ActDeft for subscribing for an eighth month in a row, eight months of VOG love. He subscribed during the show. Thank you so much for that. And then also we have all the people hosting us on their personal channels. Even if you don't stream on Twitch yourself, if you have an account to chat, please go ahead and put us in your auto host. So thank you so much. Podculture, XLink777, Collision28, Fifth Dream Today, Spyro Jonathan, Tiger Claw, ActDeft, Rob Roberts, Orange Wright, 13X Forever, Anime Jam Session, Wayne and 12, SJ100 Matt, The Solar Bear, Misty OLR, Veronica Isabel, Dark Tetsuya, Bold 7708, DC Digital Media, Travis Donovan, YYR 57695, Sia Tabiri, Questbuster, Critical Myth, AJ Twist, Loki OLR, VG Realness, and Pixel Pacus. All y'all are hosting us tonight. Thank you so much for that. OLR is coming up next. I will be here next week, and then I'm going to be at Dragon Con. It's coming up really quickly. And then I'll probably be playing some No Man's Sky this week. Not multiplayer. I'm avoiding Kaijudo because I'm scared of his promise. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.